to our weekly news podcast, Local Matters. This is Jake Frankel with Mountain Express, filling in for regular host Margaret Williams, who's on vacation this weekend. We hope you're having fun, Margaret. First off, we're going to start with a dispatch from freelance reporter Christopher George, who covered this week's Asheville City Council meeting.
Hi, this is Christopher George, a freelancer with the Mountain Express, and this week I had the honor of covering Asheville City Council, which means that I have the honor of telling you about what happened at City Council and what's going to be in this coming issue of Mountain Express. The big story at City Council was a vote on two amendments to the Unified Development Ordinance. One of them increased the amount of space between two separated developments from 500 feet to 1,500 feet, and the other required developers to wait at least a year before bringing a new development that had previously been rejected by council just by changing a small part of it. Both the amendments passed by 4-3 votes, with Mayor Bellamy and council members Jan Davis and Bill Russell opposed. Vice Mayor Brownie Newman, Cecil Bothwell, Esther Mannheimer, and Gordon Smith all voted in favor of the amendments. Now, since those amendments didn't pass by a 2/3 majority, there will be another reading on them and another vote taken February 22nd. These amendments are seen by some as a move by council to correct something related to the Caledonia apartment project that was rejected by council in September. And what has happened since then is that the developer involved with that project split what was originally a 100-unit single apartment complex into two 50-unit apartment complexes separated by the now or then minimum 500 feet. And that allowed him to get those apartments approved without the approval of full council. So what this addresses is it actually brings back an older requirement that projects be spaced 1,500 feet apart as opposed to 500 feet. And the new amendment, the truly new amendment, is that, you know, any project modified, not modified significantly, only slightly to get around council, you could not resubmit for a year. And it was a close vote, and a lot of council seemed relatively torn on it, I would say. There were people like Cecil Bothwell who said that it would bring more consistency to the rules to not have rejected developments come back again within a year and things like that. And there were people who agreed with that. And then the mayor in particular was concerned about legal ramifications coming from that. I mean, she at one point actually said, "I think we're going to get sued." And so there was a lot of controversy surrounding that, and it clearly shows in the vote. There were a lot of neighbors from Kenilworth there supporting the amendment. There were some real estate developers there opposed, and it was a classic sort of developer versus neighborhood breakdown of things. The other big story to come out of council was a report from a consultant about the city's ongoing water rate study. And basically what was presented there was that Asheville residents pay a higher than regional average for their water usage, but industries, and large use industries in particular, pay significantly less than neighboring cities and regionally and obviously nationally also. The single family usage rate is $3.77 per 100 cubic feet of water. And multifamily units, apartment complexes and whatnot, pay $3.08 per cubic 100 feet. That number is $3.15 for small businesses. And then for large use businesses that use over 1,100 cubic feet of water, they pay $1.41 per unit, and that is a 60% lower rate than what residents pay. And it's normal for other cities to have that, but Asheville's is much, much lower. And a lot of the talk centered around the idea of bringing that number more on par with what other cities have regionally. And there was no consensus on council about that. There was no, this is something that's going to be taken up later in the budget process. And but it was pretty clear that council wants to find a way to raise revenues without raising single-family residential rates. And that was basically the council rundown.
Now I'm here with senior reporter David Forbes, who is going to talk to us about his cover story, the upcoming City of Asheville budget.
Yes, this is, as some people may know, last year this issue dominated council's discussions, city council's discussions for months. They had started with a $5 million deficit. They had to close that gap. They did a lot of things, cut community center hours, trimmed down staff overtime, a lot of stuff, raised some fees. This year, the budget picture is also kind of uncertain in some ways. City staff say they're cautiously optimistic about things like property tax revenues and sales tax revenues. That's some good news. At the same time, though, a lot of fees, especially those tied to construction, that sort of thing, are way, way down from where they used to be. Right now, the city's anticipating being basically somewhat down from the revenues last year, which means that there's a number, they either need to raise revenue or cut spending. Also, on top of, as if all this wasn't enough, the state may throw a curveball in things. The city gets about $25 million a year from the state. That's sales tax revenues they get back. That's beer and wine tax, things like that. The revenues that the city, that the state sends back to the city's coffers, it does to many cities in North Carolina. And while the state's facing its own budget crisis, a billion in ranges, with their deficits ranging to billions of dollars. I think like $2.7 billion was last
year. Yeah, I think $3.7 billion is the latest projection.
It's $2.7 is the latest. The governor announced yesterday that it scaled it back.
Okay,
that's
good news.
It's still a lot of, it's still a lot of money to make up.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's some speculation in the current Republican-dominated General Assembly's commitment to spending cuts that cities may end up having further chaos in their budget. So what my story considers is, what are some of the ways that the city could make up this revenue or cut their current expenses? Where is it going to fall, and who is it going to affect? Mm-hmm. And how likely are they to come to pass?
Mm-hmm. And the first area you take a look at is annexation, which is also very much related to what happens in the General Assembly, right?
It is actually related to what happened in the General Assembly. This way is because Asheville is, according to a report put out by the city last year, was the 11th slowest growing city.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that.
Yeah, it's simply not done many annexations compared to a lot of other cities over the years. Now, forced annexation, which is allowed in North Carolina and very few other states, it's a very controversial issue. And you know, people use examples of cities taking in huge numbers of residents, not providing them equal services. But annexation is a way, whether someone opposes it or not, that cities can make more revenue. You take in more new development, more areas, you bring more money into the city's coffers. However, I considered, you know, it takes some time for that to take effect. The General Assembly wants to do away with it entirely, the ability to forcibly annex. There's about to be a big clash over that, and there may even be a moratorium on forced annexations already in progress, with which the city has a few. So, you know, that may have been affected by the General Assembly, and that probably doesn't, it doesn't look too likely that that will be the city's way out of this. It would take too long to go into effect. And on top of that, there's too much uncertainty at the state level.
Mm-hmm. Another area you analyzed was the possibility of raising taxes and fees.
Yes. Specifically, the city's single biggest moneymaker, and the one it has complete control over, are property taxes and fees. It can raise these as city council sees fit. However, raising taxes, no one likes other taxes raised, especially in a recession. And this has historically been something that city council, with some notable, with one or two notable exceptions, generally is not open to. That's the, you know, the one of their goals, which they reaffirmed at a retreat recently, is to hold the line on property taxes. Those terms, hold the line on it. Councilmember Cecil Bothwell is a bit different. He said it's one of the city's least regressive ways to raise money, and he would be open to the possibility of it. However, this is where that curveball comes in. This might not be as unlikely as it sounds at first.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of council members, Esther Mannheimer and Jan Davis, both of whom historically oppose raising property taxes, did mention during budget deliberations last year that, that if it was necessary to, quote-unquote, keep the lights on, they'd consider it. And if the state throws a big enough curveball or revenues are down enough, what you might see is council taking this that quite seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Desperate times, desperate measures.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we also have a council election coming up this sure. year, so there might be some political reluctance as well to take such a step. It's not going to be popular
mm-hmm.
if it happens.
Mm-hmm. Another area you look at is spending cuts. How do you see that playing out this year?
Spending cuts, I think some cuts, if the revenues come in down from the last year, and especially if the state throws any a wrench into the works, some spending cuts are almost a certainty. For that matter, I think a few fee increases are probably almost a certainty as well. Not a tax increase, maybe a fee increase. But the spending cuts, people like spending cuts in theory. People like to say, okay, we need to trim the fat in the budget. And certainly there's a lot to be argued for government efficiency. But the thing is, though, when it comes down to what can the city cut, well, there's, parks and community centers, there's transit, there's, things tied to the arts, there's any number of projects that are in the works, there's any number of services the city provides. All of those are going to have their defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those look like they're in for serious budget cuts, and you're going to have a lot of angry people coming to City Hall.
Yeah.
And the city already made a lot of the, I wouldn't say easy, but easier cuts last year, things that aren't immediately apparent. But they keep cutting more, they might end up with things like having to lay off staff members. And so that's historically something the city's been wanting to avoid, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be said, this is not a would not be a politically popular thing either. All of the things I mentioned have their defenders, and those defenders would definitely show up to city council and want the cuts to take place somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And then, lastly, you look at new tax income, not just mm-hmm. raising existing taxes, but possible other forms of taxes, correct?
Yes, and this is an area where North Carolina is somewhat, I wouldn't say entirely unique, but somewhat, in that any extra tax, say a hotel occupancy tax or a meal tax are two of the most common, has to be approved by the General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
The city can't just say, we're raising a hotel tax. They have to go to Raleigh, get approval from Raleigh, and pass it. And the General Assembly right now is not, usually the local legislative delegation would have to completely support it. That's every member, representatives, state senators alike. The thing is, though, is that delegation is currently split. You've got a Republican senator and a Republican representative and two Democratic representatives, a Democratic senator, and who have very different philosophies on how the budget should be balanced, how the city should balance their budgets.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's been raised is there is currently a hotel tax in Buncombe, at least, and the vast majority of hotels in Buncombe are in Asheville, but that goes straight to the Tourism Development Authority. Rakes in about $7 million a year,
mm-hmm.
which would probably fix the city's budget pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's meant for the TDA by state law, so the city would have to go to the General Assembly, for example, and say, we want an additional occupancy tax that just goes to us. Get approved from the General Assembly and come back. It's not impossible, but it's going to face some pretty steep odds. Cities either have to get together a fairly impressive lobbying effort or put together some sort of deal with that all the local legislators can agree to.
Mm-hmm. So where do you think all this leaves the city? It sounds like the city faces bad choices and worse choices to me.
Well, which is, it's because it's tough economic times.
Yeah.
If these choices were easy, there wouldn't be a large debate about them. All of them have advantages and disadvantages. All of them have people who are genuinely believe they go the wrong way for government to take, whether it's raising taxes or cutting spending or any of the other measures mentioned. And basically, the article kind of analyzes these and asks the public to make their voices known. This is a big issue. It's going to affect people in Asheville, whether it's on their tax bill or in services they may not get next year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it's the public needs to weigh in and consider these issues.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, David, and thank you for listening to Local Matters. Thank you.
Thank you.